This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
WEEI Afternoons back here at the 2025 NFL Draft Day 2. It's Friday. It's a little chilly. There's a little rain in the air, but we're not softy, old man. We're not going to let that ruin
our
buzz.
There's people here calling me out.
How soft I am. Oh yeah, Paul from Buffalo Wild Wings, who is a native
Boston
New
native.
Englander.
Yeah,
yes,
yeah.
Calling Ted Johnson out for being chilly. But if you're a Patriots fan, I believe you should be warm inside, because Will Campbell, you just heard from him. You've seen the highlights. Okay, you've also heard the criticism. He might have short arms and a short wingspan. But
he has short arms.
That's true. He does. Not might. He does. But if you're not excited that you filled that left tackle spot, if you're not excited with everything you saw and heard from him in the last 24 hours, I don't know what's wrong with you. I'm going to take Fitzy on right now, because I saw Nick Fitzy Stevens as part of the Christian Arcand all-night draft show. I heard some things. I saw some things. And I, quite frankly, didn't care for it.
Oh.
Fitzy, you're the man of the people. You're the king of the Pats fans. And you're supposed to stand on that wall and... I didn't care for the lack of excitement or appreciation for Will Campbell. And I'll be honest, I'm starting there. 617-779-7937. I want everybody reacting.
I'd like to hear your thoughts.
I want everybody reacting. If you like the pick, that's great. If you don't, you're the person I want to talk to almost even more why you don't like it.
Okay.
And that's Fitzy, because I boiled it down to this, Fitzy.
Yeah.
So even if they took a guard at 4, and let's just say everybody believes he can be a really good guard. Whatever happens at tackle for a year or two, he can be a really good guard. He's going to be Logan Mankins. He'll be all pro, go to the Pro Bowl.
Guards win Super Bowls, yes.
Sure. But what else were you going to take? Because if you were going to take best player available, you were going to take a running back, which would draw criticism. You were going to take a tight end, which would draw criticism. Hell, if you call Travis Hunter a cornerback, he went too high for a cornerback to go. He went too high for a wide receiver to go. So no matter who you took at number 4 in the 2025 NFL draft, you were probably going to take a player that people were like, oh, is it worth it? Is that good value at 4? You filled your biggest need with a tackle. They believe he's a tackle to start. You filled your biggest need with a tackle who the lowest I saw him on big boards was like 11. 12. Oh, so you took him 7 spots too early to fill the biggest need on your team, and then he has the perfect leadership and mentality to be the centerpiece of your offense. So, Fitzy, why were you not happy last night?
There was an anticlimactic nature to the draft pick because we knew about it for so long. I told you guys at the end of the show last night when we crossed over that to me it felt like the Christmas gift that you found in the closet in early November and then had to pretend to be surprised when you got it for Christmas. Like, man, I wish I hadn't seen that closet. Like, I wish there was just as a fan of theater, of spectacle, the draft, I wish there was an element of surprise or a little more drama to it. That's just that. And we had the same thing happen last year, which is why I get more excited for days 2 and 3 last year, and I'm more excited for days 2 and 3 this year as well. This is just like an instantaneous, like, immediacy gratification type of element, Ted. That's a superficial layer. On the grander layer, Andy, I was hoping with a pick as high as pick number 4, it would not come with the question marks that Will Campbell comes with on the field, not off the field. As you'll hear later on in my 3-point stance in the 3 o'clock hour, I am pivoting away from the disappointment of the Will Campbell draft selection and the lack of hype and hoopla leading up to it, and whether or not Mike Vrabel got out over his dynamics and personality of Will Campbell's skis and loved the nature of the player more than maybe the physical abilities on field of Will Campbell. I am pivoting towards, I hope this guy is good. And listen, if he can play half as good as he soundbites or speaks to people, then we're going to end up with a dog. But I just can't synthesize the excitement that you have. And I'm surprised that you're even getting your tail feathers all in a ruffle right now, considering the fact that you get your miniature victory lap because this is the pick you called And they took your guy. So, you know, just be happy with that for the moment, all right?
See, this is a weird spot for me. I feel like I'm happier than a lot of members of Patriot Nation. And that's not my usual feeling. You guys
are happy because this is the guy you've wanted all along, and they got the guy you wanted all along.
And I think he's really good. You know, this is a guy that, when he went to LSU, do you know what number prospect he was in college football? Not tackle. What number prospect he was?
Going into LSU?
1,293.
Four. He was the fourth best overall prospect in the country.
All positions.
Any position.
Damn.
Going to LSU.
Yeah.
And now,
he'll tell you, he got an offer at 14 years old.
Yeah, because he's a big, athletic, unique, bodied person who fills the biggest need. That's one thing we won't argue about, right? He fills the biggest need on the team, at least for a year.
This
year.
No doubt.
Because even though your guy Vrabel tried to say, well, you know, he's going to compete like they all. No. He's your starting left tackle. Mm-hmm. He's not competing. You took him fourth overall. When they play whoever the hell they play on September, whatever the hell the first game of the season is, it will say left tackle Will Campbell, right? That's what's going to be announced. So you filled a left tackle with a guy who has been – since 14 years old, he's been on this track, this trajectory towards NFL starting left tackle. He was recruited by Alabama, LSU, all those places. He goes to LSU. He's great there. He's an All-American there. Starts for 3 years. 3 years in the SEC, where no one talked about his arms until they measured his arms. No one cared about his arms until they measured his arms.
Oh, they did. They called him out when he was younger.
Yeah, because they measured him to bring him to college.
To college,
the young
right? Right.
It's the people. I guess that's my point, Fitzy and Ted, is it's the people deciding whether they want him who wonder how good he is. I haven't heard anybody who had him. 4-year starter in high school, 3-year starter at LSU. No one who had him and actually had him in the lineup playing football had a single problem with anything he did.
To be fair, the high school, college does not compare to the pros. And so in things that at those lower levels, you can get away with certain physical deficiencies that honestly matter in the NFL. So I think they're not apples to apples is my point. And I wonder, you know, Fitzy, just this, it sounds like you're more disappointed just kind of about the draft events. Like, you know, that you weren't entertained by that pick. And you're almost holding it against Will Campbell, and you're, you know, it's kind of, that's what's going into your opinion.
That's part of the calculus, Ted, 100%.
Yeah, and I understand that. I mean, you know, Andy and I were in the crowd. It was awesome just to be in that mass of humanity last night when the Patriots selected Will Campbell. And I just remember my instant feeling was like, but I'm still happy about the pick. And it was because it was such an obvious pick, and we all kind of knew it, and so there was no intrigue to it. But then you start to think about what Andy just said. It's like, finally, we have at least I'm gonna go out on a limb and say I think my baseline for Will Campbell is he's going to be a serviceable left tackle for this team. He's going to be an upgrade of a left tackle for this year than anything that we have. So that makes me happy. I'm happy about that.
We're happy with serviceable? I'm sorry, Ted, but really?
For this first year, and comparatively to what they've had, you're damn right I am. And so, again, in my three-point stance yesterday, I said, look, if Will Campbell buys you time, if all of a sudden, if next year or 2 years from now we go, you know what, Will Campbell's probably better for a guard, then you can kind of start planning for that next move at left tackle in the, you know, while he's being serviceable or hopefully above average left tackle in this league. And so I think that's kind of a lot of the emotions. My feeling is some people felt one way about it before the draft. And if you haven't heard the audio in his comments about just being drafted to the Patriots, what football means to him after he was selected at number 4, if you don't have a different opinion, I don't know what to do with you, because if he hasn't won you over with just his words, I mean, I feel differently about the kid today than I did yesterday just based off of his interviews after the draft.
And I will say, Fitzy, I know you and others, I listened to Jones and Keith, and I think they had a little trepidation there. It's like, are we putting more stock in the words and the makeup and the off-field stuff than the on-field stuff? And if so, it'll probably be regrettable. If they don't think he's a really talented left tackle or just offensive lineman and they put too much stock in the off-the-field stuff, this might set a bad tone. You said yesterday, Ted, the first draft for head coaches sets tones.
Yep.
If this doesn't work, Mike Vrabel, especially with the story, Fitzy, from Pete Thamel that last week. They went to Louisiana, and Vrabel brought his pad
with
him.
Yeah, that was interesting.
And Will Campbell knocked him on his
catuchus. Yeah, we're going to talk about that.
And he needed to feel how he hits. That will be a story that is mocked if Will Campbell isn't good.
Right.
That will be absolutely mocked in 100%,
Andy.
4 years.
We got to, real quick, Fitzy, we got to flush that out, because yesterday we were talking about they knew Will Campbell was their guy 4 months ago, and they had conviction in him, and they still – and then you hear, wait, he was out. Why were they putting him through a workout last week, as if they weren't sure on him? So I'm a little bit cloudy on that issue.
And the flip side, Fitzy, is also that Will Campbell said he told the Patriots, I think he said week 5 of the college season.
I'm literally looking right now. Like, Elliot Wolf came to my practice whenever I was, probably week 5 of the season, and I told him this is where I wanted to be. I told him and our area scout, Alex Brooks, that I wanted to be a Patriot.
Wow.
I love that. I love that, because I actually, Ted, don't believe that they – I believe they wanted him all along for a long period of time, and maybe they finalized it or just really checked back and crossed the T and dotted the I and really made sure. But I think this was a marriage made over months and months where they were – and that's – I love that idea. And I get what you're saying, Fitzy. We did that as well in the media. We talked about Will Campbell, especially – Fitzy, you and I on Six Rings probably in September or October started talking Will Campbell, Patriots, perfect draft pick.
I was already tired of hearing about him by Thanksgiving.
And your comparison to you saw your Christmas gift a few months early and then weren't as excited on Christmas when you opened it, the only thing I would say is if you really wanted that bike, well, guess what? I think it's still going to be a lot of fun to ride that bike. Get out on the mountain, go fast, up and jump some things, go out with your friends in the streets and go to the convenience store. You're going to love the hell out of that bike you got under the Christmas tree.
So. I know, but the thing is, I got an 18 speed and I live in the mountains. I'm not sure if it's going to be able to handle the terrain.
The negativity in this town stinks and it sucks.
Oh,
and it all
holy
comes from
Patino.
Fitzy.
Look, Ted, I've had this question on my mind ever since they made the selection last night, and I've been dying to ask you. The big thing is this crossover, right? The jump. So he could handle a lot of the obviously he handled the talent, the many people that are now getting paid a lot of money to rush the passer and create defensive line chaos in the NFL, right?
Yep.
He did a great job in the SEC, which people continue to say, wow, it's like the NFC South, sort of. When people talk about just those the matter of the couple inches and a few things that they see becoming an issue at the pro level, how big is that ability to dominate at a college, but then when you have that ability to be a pro, get called into question, is that valid? Like, are we underestimating that?
No, yeah. Are you kidding me? I mean, if I understand your question, I played with great collegiate players that they got to the pros, you never heard from them again, right? For different reasons, but, you know, a lot of times it's because they had – you know, they were so good in certain areas in their game that they could get away with it and exploit players in college. But in the pros, guys don't have many weaknesses. And so if you're not a fully formed kind of player, you will get, exposed. So, again, it's kind of like what is the best predictor of the future is to look back in the past. And in the past, guys with his measurables, I'm sorry, have not had success at left tackle. And it's not an opinion. It's a fact. So, Fitzy, your skepticism, even though Andy will crap on you all day for it, is still valid based
job.
On the history of the NFL. And there's so much data that would tell you guys built like him don't have success in the NFL. So that's going to be the maddening thing until we actually see him play, put on pads, sees him playing some games. There's going to be question marks about this kid, whether we like it or not.
Yeah, and that's fair. And I think I am more accepting of some of the classic measurables have been devalued more and more in the modern NFL. Like a guy like Elvis Dumervil or some of the undersized pass rushers that were too short and too not long enough in their own right. The opposite side of this conversation that we're having. Or quarterbacks that are allowed to shrink like Kyler Murray. I mean, Doug Flutie had to go to the CFL, right?
Right.
Like, it's a different time.
I mean, there's guys
that'll
bust the mist. Drew Brees,
right.
You
but
know.
But you're right with the traits thing, and we're going to get into Shedeur Sanders and him falling out of the first round, and I think he's falling for a variety of reasons, which we'll get into that discussion. But some of it is people can say, yeah, his traits are good in college. They're not good enough. His arm strength is this. His ability to is not good enough to transition to the next level. That doesn't mean he wasn't a good college quarterback.
Right.
Tim Tebow might be the greatest college football player
ever.
That's
a great example.
And did nothing in the NFL.
Correct.
Right?
So, and how long were his arms?
the
too long, actually.
We're not fixating just on arm length.
I do want to bring this up though, because I saw this starting to make the rounds last night as well, and there were people that were both defending it and saying how silly it is that we talk about some of these ever so slight measurables, and then some saying, well, different day and age. So let me throw it your way, Ted. Will Campbell's measurables are, as I pointed out many times, basically the same as Zach Martin, great guard of the modern era of the NFL. He's also about the same size as Bruce Armstrong, who was great for the Patriots at tackle. But that was a while ago. And has the game changed enough since Bruce Armstrong's time that having that size and Bruce Armstrong's demeanor, measurables, et cetera, have those been passed by and no. You now need Joe Alt?
No, I still think it's the same. I still think the specs for at left tackle, the requirements to play left tackle are the same today as they were 30 years ago. I do. The edge rusher, I mean, I think they're – I mean, you see players on defense, you don't see middle linebackers maybe as big as me anymore. Like, it's a faster
speed,
game.
Yep.
But edge rushers are still big, strong, long arm, freakish athletes.
Myles Garrett.
Yeah.
Look at Myles Garrett.
Yeah, so I think you still need big-ass, long-armed, big-bodied left tackles to be successful in this league. So to answer your question, I'd say no. I still think the same requirements are important today as they were 30 years ago.
We have a loaded show here today, WEEI Afternoons, again at Buffalo Wild Wings, just across the street from Lambeau Field, where last night 200,000 people, and Ted and I
awesome.
Can attest, there was every bit 200,000 people.
It was a good time last night when we went.
It was awesome. Yeah. It was a great experience. We watched the Will Campbell pick from right in front of the stage.
Yep.
Ted was holding court with some Patriots fans that picked him out in the crowd. It was – I've never been to anything like that, anything like this. And I've never been to a huge NASCAR race or any of these massive, like, music festivals.
Was it overwhelming to you since you're not the biggest people person?
Oh, it was overwhelming. I mean, we went through the crowd in front of the stage. We went through the Lambeau.
The concourse.
We went down to the concourse.
Out onto the field.
There were Fitzy, like, I was a little overwhelmed. You know I don't like crowds and people, and there were people effing everywhere. But in the opposite end of that, it's the coolest thing I've ever seen because it wasn't even
It was a chill crowd, though.
It was a great crowd, and it was a football festival more than it was the draft.
Celebration of football.
Yeah, like the draft was happening on one end.
Yeah.
There were people in the stadium or on the other end of the stadium just enjoying a beer by the fire with football fans, talking football, another team.
And we'll talk about this throughout the show, but just the whole kind of the vibe and the experience we had last night is very unique because there's fans from all the different teams, and it's basically all I've been doing the last day and a half is – what'd you think about your team's pick? You know, a Dallas fan or a Green Bay Packers fan. And so it's all these fans of the NFL, and there's no us against them. It's we're all here to have a good time. And so it makes for a really unique kind of experience.
So on the show today, we're going to have Joe Andruzzi at 3:30. He'll talk us about the transition that Will Campbell's going to have to make to an NFL offensive line. We'll talk to our buddy Mike Giardi later in the show. Not sure exactly what time because he will be covering the Will Campbell photo op down at Gillette Stadium today where he'll hold up his jersey. Robert Kraft will speak. Ted, I think, is probably happy that he has a blue suit on today, not a green Jets-colored
suit.
What's
up with that, bro?
So it's still double-breasted,
get you a tailor.
He still likes the double-breasted the whole thing there. But so we have a loaded show, but we're going to talk to you, the caller, 617-779-7937. What do you think of the Will Campbell pick? Do you love it? Are you a little dubious like Fitzy and Ted seem to be? And what do you think the team needs to do the rest of the draft? Three more picks today. You got one in the second, two in the third round, as now they seemingly can target best player available. Just go wherever the board takes them. 617-779-7937, WEEI Afternoons at Lambeau Field, Buffalo Wild Wings, day two of the NFL draft. That's all up next. But first, Dan Ball, give me what's trending. WEEI Afternoons here. Andy Hart and Ted Johnson at Buffalo Wild Wings across the street from Lambeau Field, where they're getting ready for day two of the 2025 NFL Draft. Hundreds of thousands of people still in the area. I hope they have umbrellas today, although I guess the rain is supposed
to let up in about an hour.
The weather, gentlemen. That's the fast-moving super borderline superstorm that is just canvassing the country and is going to wash us out starting tomorrow morning.
Oh, nice.
That's great. We'll just follow us home. Then.
Should make for a good flight home. WEEI Afternoons and our draft coverage is brought to you by McFarland Energy. Upgrade your air conditioning system before the summer rush. Visit McFarlandEnergy.com. By Northeast Men's Help. the leader in men's sexual health. Get your sex life back on track. NortheastMen'sHealth.com. By Lucky Energy, the number one energy drink in Massachusetts amongst energy drinkers who like to get lucky. And by Chock Full of Nuts Coffee and McCormick Grill Mates Seasoning. 617-779-7937. Let's bring in the listeners and their opinions. Will Campbell is a patriot. Do you feel like me? That you've solved left tackle and you've got the foundation of leadership and play on the offensive line for the next decade? Or do you have some concerns like Fitzy and Ted might? So let's go to start things off with Sam in Maine. What are your thoughts on the fourth pick and Will Campbell?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Hey,
so I am happy with it. I'll tell you why. You're talking about a football team that just won four games, you know. This is a team that's going to be in a similar position next year. I don't see them making the playoffs. There's upside, but they're going to be in a similar position. I think taking a valuable player at the pick that you had was all that it really counts for. And regardless of who it is, yes, there are other valuable players available, you know, Ashton Genty, whoever it may be. I think you need a valuable overall player, leader, like Ted said. If you're not happy about everything that he had to say last night, that, you know, it's seeming that he will be that leader that you need, then I just don't understand. So I'm thinking because they'll be in a similar spot next year, I'm not mad at the pick, and I think he'll be a great player too.
Thanks for the call, Sam. Mm-hmm. I'm going to push back a little bit. That was one of our questions yesterday in the more likely, and I had it picking the top 10 or the bottom 10 of the draft next year.
Yeah, I like that question.
I am going to be, I think, surprised and disappointed if they're picking. He said they
agreed.
This spot, like fourth or fifth in the draft, if they're there again next year, something isn't going quite right.
Just to put it in perspective, the Patriots won four games, and they were the fourth overall pick. The Bears picked in the 10th slot and only won five games.
Right.
I don't see the Patriots. I see the Patriots at least winning seven, eight games, if not better, next year. So they're going to be at least in the middle of next year's draft. I'd be shocked if they're where they are this year, Fitzy.
Yeah, there's no way I see them picking any lower than 14th or 16th next year. And like I said, I'm going to maintain this. I believe with the talent additions that they've made, Josh McDaniels, Mike Vrabel, Terrell Williams, not Terrell Jennings, Andy, all of that leads to at least and the money they spent, I think they double their win total. Like last year's team was 4-13, sure. And you could probably argue with a good coach it may have been a 6-11 team at best. I'm giving them a couple extra, and we'll see where they go with the rest of the draft because we know there are a couple of needs of explosion on this team right now that they bypassed taking Will Campbell, but they can still address today and maybe early tomorrow.
I don't believe also if they are. If Sam's right, and let's just say they're in a similar position next year.
Yep. Okay.
I'm not sure it's about Will Campbell. I think it's probably more about the guy you took third overall last year.
That's it.
Right?
That's a great way to put it. I think if they are in the same spot they are, next year as they were this year, what happened with the quarterback then?
Yeah.
You know, that's probably the right way to look at it.
And then we should have kept Joe Milton.
Oh, no. Here we go.
Son of a.
You know, oh, my gosh. Can you imagine? It's going to be so fun to follow the Joe Milton story down there and then compare him to Drake May and his progress.
And speaking of comparisons, there's going to be some comparisons going on. People like Fitzy and you and others are going to be watching to see, well, first of all, like a Membu. Is he just a better tackle? Is he a better NFL tackle?
Right.
Or Genty or some of these guys Kelvin Banks, whoever, whether it's lineman or alternative options at running back, tight end, great player.
Who's the better receiver, Ladd McConkey or,
the answer is Ladd McConkey to all the questions. I need Elliot Wolf to redeem himself and make a dynamic – to team up with McDaniels and Vrabel and pick a receiver that makes me forget about bypassing McConkey last year, Ted.
You reminded me there, Fitzy, that Tom Curran may have been upset because when the Patriots put out the little video from the war room – front and center there was Elliot Wolf standing up talking to to Will Campbell. So he didn't stay out of the way. He was part of the process there.
Hey, Wolf Dingo, is everybody okay with this pick?
No.
Braves, are you okay? Mr. Kraft, are you okay with this
pick? And then Mike Vrabel played not just coach but dad there. Make sure you thank everybody that played a role in this, Will. He said it twice
I'm going to be honest with you. It's a that's a Parcellian trait.
Oh, really?
When I got drafted by the Patriots, and I'm Bill Parcells, I couldn't believe was calling me 5 minutes. He made sure I knew all the linebackers. And to give them respect, and
I love
just
it.
Yeah, it was. So that's, and I'm okay with that.
Yeah,
I like those types of coaches that value that aspect. You know,
617-779-7937. Let's go back to the phone lines. Let's go to Pat in Nashua. What are his thoughts on the number 4 pick and Will Campbell? What's up, Pat?
Hey guys, how's it going?
Hey, good man.
How's it going, guys? Great.
Good.
Hey, actually, I have a nerdy reason why Will Campbell is going to be a tackle. If you want to hear it.
Yes, I do.
Mm-hmm. All right, so it's all to do with relative reach. So if you take two triangles, okay, and you make the sides equal for all for both triangles, all four sides are equal, okay, and you draw a base, a long base and a short base, which triangle is taller?
Huh.
You tell us.
I give up.
The short base one. So his relative reach, because of his narrow frame, his frame is, if you subtract his arms, is 11 inches, I think, right?
Yeah.
Because he's 11 and 58 of an inch, right. So Membu, okay, take Membu, for instance. Now, his arms are 33 and a half, correct? But his frame is, his wingspan is 82. So his frame is 15 inches, correct?
Oh.
So who has the longer frame? Membu, right? So if you add those triangles together, who has the longer relative reach?
That's interesting.
All right.
Thanks for the call. I'm not going to lie.
You guys follow that? You follow that whole thing?
I was told there'd be no math.
Not totally, but I kind of get here. This might sound weird. So this is going to an entry into a point I've always – the body types and styles are – look. So, like you said, Vrabel and I were both linebackers.
Yeah.
Yep.
I have long legs. Vrabel has a longer torso and shorter legs.
Okay.
He's – honestly, that's a better – you want longer torso, shorter legs. Just think about, like, Kristaps Porzingis. Stopping, cutting, turning, exploding, stopping and starting.
Okay.
Is it harder or easier for him than, say, it would be – Derek White.
Harder.
Why?
Like Bambi.
Because
the legs are everything.
Yeah, it's just – and so those little things that he's kind of mentioning, I've always thought about. Like, can I give you an example? So you everybody know what a burpee is? You know what a burpee is? Okay, right? You go down, you push up, jump up. It's a burpee is so hard for me because my legs are so long that it's – I got to really push off to get – my legs back up under me to stand up.
Okay.
Where people with long torsos and short legs, they're more athletic because they can just pop right back up because of the dimensions of their body. So maybe I went off on a big tangent there, but I kind of get what the guy's saying a little bit to some degree.
Hey, guys, real quick, just wanted to let you know, between the text line and text messages I've received from friends and people that work at the radio station, congratulations, that's the new worst caller of all time.
No. Whoa. Just because you people don't understand it doesn't mean it's a bad call.
He was
bringing some good in. I don't know if it's factually accurate, but I appreciate the attempt.
Jack LaLanne. That was like a freaking like stretch class.
There is another nerd out there listening to him and going, that's my person. I should be with that person.
Right. Or maybe the
I talk the same language.
The Jags GM was like, well, you got to hire that guy for our football department.
Dude, he's thinking about things different ways. He might have just got himself a job.
Right? These quants guys, they take off. Ask Bill James. Sometimes you see your thing in the background.
We're already grasping at these straws with our short arms at 241.
Well, I was thinking when Ted was going through the whole what's better, a long torso and a long – I was thinking, I can tell you what doesn't work is short arms, short legs, short torso, because I've lived it my whole damn life. 617-779-7937. We're going to continue to take your phone calls. Will Campbell is a Patriot. Do you love it? Do you like it? Are you okay with it? Can you explain it via physics and math and triangles? 617-779-7937. WEEI Afternoons continues to react to the Will Campbell draft pick next. WEEI Afternoons live from Green Bay, Wisconsin. Day two of the 2025 NFL Draft. Patriots will have three picks in the second and third rounds. 38th overall be their first pick. We'll get to some of the opportunities that remain on the board for Mike Vrabel, Elliot Wolf, and company a little bit later in the show here. Right now, we're continuing to react to Will Campbell, who some of us feel was the perfect pick at the perfect time for the team and its needs and where it's developing as a culture and leadership. Some are a little bit more dubious, so let's go back to the phone line, 617-779-7937. Let's go to Keith in the truck and get his thoughts on the Will Campbell pick. What's up, Keith?
Good morning, everybody. So you got three guys in the top nine, obviously, that there were tackles. The other two guys have the prerequisite size and length and whatever. I understand right side and left side. That tells me that they think Campbell was by far the best. If these guys were close in their minds, I mean, if you take Banks or you take Membo at four, no one's going to really give you crap about it. So it just tells me that they think this guy was the best fit to play left tackle. And I think, honestly, if you give him 1 year, if he really, really struggles and you have to kick him back inside, I think he's going to be an all-pro type of guard, and I think you can go, you know, figure it out later down the line. But I like his attitude. I like the emotion when he got drafted, and I like the I'll die to protect this team.
I think he's going to – Thanks for the call.
That was the best. Mm-hmm. I love that. I'll lay my life down for Drake May. Oh my God! He everything he said just hit. If you're, a purist and love football at its essence and its core and what it is, it's about having each other's backs and being there for each other. That just resonated with me for sure. And I want
to
push back
to protect them with everything I've got.
My man.
I'm all fine.
And I'll push back real quick. He said that if Membu was drafted, no one would have said anything. People would have been freaking out if they drafted Membu because
right tackle.
He's always been a right tackle.
Yep.
And people are tired of right tackles being moved to left tackle on this team because it's never worked out.
So can I flip this, Fitzy? Everybody's saying maybe Will Campbell went a little too high. If he had arms that were inch and a half longer, he might have been the number one pick in this draft. It's a bad draft.
Maybe.
And we've seen tackles.
He wouldn't have gone over Travis Hunter.
Maybe not.
Or
but
Cam Ward,
we've
I think.
It's a value position. It's more prototypical value position.
Yeah.
And we've had those drafts. Remember the Dolphins did it with Jake Long.
Jake Long.
Then you had Travis Fisher was, I think, the guy that went to the Chiefs number one.
Jake Fisher. Eric Fisher.
Yeah.
Fisher.
Sometimes you have these bad drafts, and if there's a prototypical franchise tackle. So I would argue if his arms were slightly longer, you might have seen Will Campbell go number one overall or maybe number two overall. He could have gone higher in this draft because he would have then checked every single box because he has everything else, including the crying, which I enjoyed because it's one thing to be the Harry Hardo, I'll die for my quarterback, but to balance that out by crying in front of 200,000 people, I like that.
It validates the Hardo. It's not an act. He's an emotional guy.
And he's also just having witnessed him for a little while now, he seems genuine, really comfortable in his own skin.
It's unauthentic.
You know, he's going to bring, I don't even know what he was talking about, but certain seafood he's going to bring to Boston.
Let me tell you something. Nobody could sniff out inauthenticity quicker than Mike Vrabel because what you see is what you get with Vrabes, and he values the same thing in football players.
617-779-7937. Let's go back to the phone lines. Marty in Wrentham, what are your thoughts on the Patriots NFL draft? Marty.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Hello, Marty.
So, I have a question. Who do you guys like for the first pick today for us? Do you have someone who's at the top of your list?
All right, thanks for the call, Marty. I have a couple guys that I have, and we're going to get to this a little bit deeper later. Fitzy, you brought this up that we should all kind of have guys we have our eyes on.
Mike Green, edge rusher, Adam Marshall.
He was on my list.
Character concerns, aisle one.
Ezra Koo, the kid out of
Boston College. Yep.
I don't hate Fitzy's
Luther Burden,
Travion Henderson, the running back out of Ohio State. I don't hate
that
idea.
If you like touchdowns, you shouldn't hate it.
I mean, Jaden Higgins, the Iowa State wide receiver. I tend to think, my instinct tells me it's either going to be an edge rusher or a wide receiver.
Yeah.
That's kind of how I feel.
There's a lot of edge rushers that are rated very high at this part in the draft.
And guys that have been productive.
What if the cornerback from Michigan makes it to 38, knee injuries concerns withstanding?
I mean, I'd have to know more. You're right. He's an elite. I mean, that's a guy that was supposed to be a top 10 prospect that now you're getting in the top 10 picks of the second round. Maybe I'd have to be a little bit more comfortable with that. And there's some of these guys, like Mike Green's a guy, the edge rusher.
Marshall.
I didn't know he has some sexual assault charges in his background that may be part of this twice.
Oh.
Once in college, once in high school. So there's some red flags there. And Fitzy, you're right. That's going to be the question. Whatever the red flag is that dropped some of these elite guys that are perceived to be top half of the first round guys to the second round, that's how you have to get comfortable with those picks. But
the first seven picks of the second round last year were all wide receivers, I think. I believe it. So they went.
I'll trust you.
Is there going to be a run on edge rushers? Maybe
to the tail end of the first round last year into the second round, Ted. You had everybody from McConkey to Jalen Polk, Xavier Leggett, Keon Coleman. It was a huge run.
And obviously, the quarterback situation with Shedeur Sanders at some point is going to play itself out.
Yep.
You know, you were talking about, Ted, people online referencing that they could have taken Travis Hunter and Shedeur Sanders.
Cleveland could have.
Cleveland.
And now
they have
them.
Now they have two picks atop the second round. Are they going to take Shedeur Sanders with one of those? The Steelers, a team that some people thought would be an option at 21, I think they were.
Yep.
They don't have a second round pick. So if they still want him, are they going to trade back into the second round? Or could he fall to the third round? A little more discussion on Shedeur Sanders we'll get into later, because Ted and I talked a little bit about it on the ride in, the different layers of why he may have dropped, the different issues, considerations.
I think it was the big story of the night.
It was. And, you know, people were criticizing Mel Kiper for talking too much about Shedeur Sanders. And I know this morning all the shows when I was having breakfast, it was all Shedeur Sanders, why. Deion has commented. Shedeur has commented. There were cameras capturing everything
Deion.
As they fell. Yeah,
not
Deion
a good look.
Doesn't like to be on sort of the loser end of the spectrum with certain things.
Sir.
So, yeah, we'll get into the Shedeur Sanders situation. We'll continue to take your phone calls on Will Campbell. He is the new Patriots left tackle. He is Drake May's guy. He's going to be willing to die for him to protect him. We will get the pros and cons of that as we continue to break it down. But we're coming up on 3 o'clock somewhere, at least in Boston.
Right.
That means it's time for the three-point stance. And I am going to tell you that, again, I feel a little nostalgic, or I've gotten soft in my old age. But this whole draft experience has changed me, the way I look at football and the way I look at football fans. That's up next here on WEEI as we get to the three-point stance.